And we're going to be looking at here in Acts. We're going to continue in Acts this morning, where we left off about a few weeks ago. There was a Christmas message and then a New Year's message. And the message that the Lord laid on my heart was the story about the Philip and the Ethiopian. Now remember back in Acts, remember there was a great persecution in Acts chapter 8 that broke out. And you remember too that because of this, you had Philip, who decided that he was going to go down to Samaria. And you had, of course, Stephen, who was martyred. And you had the church just broke apart. People just went their own way. They scattered. And yet, then you had, of course, Peter and John confronting Simon, who was just in it for the power and the money. And the reason why I fact this, because some people aren't sure if he's saved or not, was even the church fathers had stated that he was one of the founders of Gnosticism, which means that the spirit is good, but all flesh is evil. In other words, Gnosticism believes that Jesus did not come in the flesh. Like it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, and it says this here, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because there are many false prophets that go into the world. Hereby we know that the spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come into flesh of God, and every spirit that confesses not Jesus has come into flesh, is not of God." So, as we look at that, you know, there were already antichrists, and there were antichrist-like spirits. There were people that were against, that word anti means against, pushing against the truth of the word of God. So you have now here that once Simon had been confronted, he could not buy salvation. Unfortunately, that's a perfect illustration of many churches, even with the New Year's coming in, people thinking, I got a fresh start. Don't fool yourself, because the devil is still at war with us, with the saints, and he's given it every last bit of strength that he has. And so, but we have the greater that's in us than he is in the world. We have the armor of God. We have the word of God. We have the blood of God. You know, so we have much more to be conquerors in him. And he cannot touch us in the world, like I said before, unless we allow him to. And so, as it was then, so with Simon, it didn't work out for him. And so Peter and John, verse 25, let me move on here. Verse 25, "And they, when they had testified, preached the word of the Lord," and that was down in Samaria at this time. And Samaria was about 100 miles away from Jerusalem. "And they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." So in other words, on the way back, they preached to many villages that were there. Now, it's interesting with the Samaritans, the Jews looked at them, unfortunately, with contempt. You know, the Jews had a big problem in Jeremiah's days. We're going through Jeremiah on Wednesdays, evenings at 6:30 p.m., was that they had a problem with idols. And today, an idol is, as it was then, anything that you put before the Lord God, before him. We need to put God first. And then, as we see here, that because of what was going on, that there were also the issues that were coming up was now with Israel is spiritual pride. They thought that they were all that and a piece of cake too. And God's saying, "Can I even use you?" Well, obviously, they had the issue with that and also of the God of this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23, it says, "For the Jews require a sign." Remember, Jesus was always giving signs, and the apostles, even Peter and John, they were giving signs and miracles. "Require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block." In other words, they would stumble every time Jesus was mentioned. "Just don't tell me about Jesus. Everything's fine." And then also, and then to the Greeks, it was foolishness. You know, people look at today, Gentiles look at us, Like, what are you talking about? What, you know, oh yeah, Christianity, that's nice. Don't tell me any more about it. It's foolishness. Of course, to the unsaved, it's foolishness. Not only that, but there was also dealing with the God of this world. And we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded, that Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. So we are called to be lights of the world. We looked at different lights, you know, as we've seen during Christmas. But they are just man-made lights. But this is a spiritual light, you know, a true light. It's not deceptive. And so you had Israel, who's been was against what God told them to do. Peter and John, who were saved, who were Jewish, and they went out and they preached among the Samaritans. Now, of course, you know, again, some people sometimes don't want to witness to people because they don't like them. Remember Jonah? Remember Jonah hated the Ninevites. They were Assyrians and they were horrible people in their pagan religion. And so remember Jonah, he didn't even want to go to Nineveh. And even after he went to Nineveh, he didn't even really give thanks to the Lord. He just looked at it as just a job. You know, I just come and I just do what the Lord tells me to do. His heart wasn't into it. But he did obey the Lord because God forced him. I would not want to be in the belly of a whale. No, thank you. Claustrophobia is not good. Total darkness is not good. Being around trash and stench is not good. Being around a whale that burps and everything else is not good. You know, so it was just a horrible, hellish type of life there for Jonah. But still, he did not want to go to the Gentile nations. That attitude today, unfortunately, is why I think some churches today are struggling, because people just don't want to witness. People don't want to get out and tell people about the Lord because they think the Lord's coming back. I've already done what I got to do. But you know what? I thank God for all of you here today, because you all do go out. You do share Jesus. You do witness. You've given it many times before, and even more than that. And on top of that, you will continue to witness. You know, if you can't, you got to start at your home, and then with your family, and then at your job, and people, your friends and loved ones in the community, and they know who you are. You know, but then you continue to shine that light, the spiritual light of Jesus Christ. I'm very thankful that we have people like that here today. That don't look for all the pomp and the pride and everything else that goes along with it, sticks their nose up at people. But let me go on to here. So you had here people who got serious that went out and did the Great Commission. They went out, like it says in Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, they went from Jerusalem to Samaria from the persecution, and they went out into Judea from there on. And so we see, number one, when we witness the people, we need to be prepared. Look at the story with Philip in the Ethiopian. And it says, and the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, verse 26. So here was Philip doing what he was called to do, going out, and he was witnessing. Remember, he was not one of the apostles. He was one of the disciples. He went out and he witnessed. And the angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord, okay, spoke to Philip. And you know what? It was not like Philip had an attitude, was angry, got bitter. He was obedient. He was like, okay, I'll go. Tell me what to do. I'll pick up what I got and I'll go. I'll get in my car. I will go. I will walk down the street. I will go. I will pass out a track. I will go. I will use my mouth. I will go. I will use my feet. I will go. I will use my hands to, you know, get busy for the Lord. I will go. And so, but have you ever had somebody here looking at you as though something was wrong when you witnessed to them? You know, Philip didn't do that. He wasn't intimidated. He wasn't by this angel. Okay? He knew who it was and from the Lord. And so we need to have spiritual discernment when God tells us to go and when God tells us not to go. And so saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way, goeth down toward Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert, which is about 100 miles, okay, down to the desert edge there, which is that road that goes down straight down to Egypt to where the Ethiopia is. And you have to remember, the Ethiopian came up to Jerusalem. He was like a proselyte. He was like a Gentile believer wanting to become Jewish. And he would come up there during the Passover, and he'd come up to the temple, and he would want to worship there. He was interested in that. And so it says here that in verse 27, and he rose and he went, and behold, a man of the Ethiopia, a eunuch. Now, whether or not he was castrated or he was a person from the royal line, a eunuch could be used for either word. We don't know if he was one or the other, but we know pretty much that he was very important. He was part of the queen's staff. He was like the treasurer, the woman, who appointed this man over the treasury. It's just like we have that in our country today. We have those who are in charge of our treasury. And of the great authority of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasurer, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, let's put ourselves in the Ethiopian's shoes, the eunuch's shoes. Now, he knew this when he came up to Jerusalem, number one, that, he could not go all the way to the temple, but he cannot partake what other Jews did because he was castrated, I believe. Okay? And it says this, and it was the castration back in those days was just to protect the females from the males. Okay? That's why you have in history that men were castrated so that they could not interfere with women. Chapter 23 in Deuteronomy, verse 1 says, he that is wounded in the stones, that means his parts were removed. That's just the way it was. Or hath a private member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So that was part of the Mosaic law. He was not supposed to come into that part. He could stand there and watch, but he could not participate in the worship there at the temple during the Passover. You remember they used to take a lamb and they would kill it, and they would bring it to the temple, and they would slit the lamb's throat and pour it in either a silver or gold bowl, and then they would pass it to one priest to the other, to the holies of holies, and then they would take that and they would sprinkle it before the altar and at the base of the altar for the sacrifice, okay? And as we do the Lord's Supper today, that's a picture there of Christ, that sacrificial lamb, which they did that, okay? Because they did not believe in Jesus. So they continued on what they were doing. And at this time, the eunuch was going to Jerusalem. He knew nothing about Jesus. There are people today that are searching for Jesus, but they don't necessarily know Jesus. I remember when I went to an Episcopal church and never heard the gospel. Then I went to two Pentecostal churches. I thought about this week. I didn't hear the gospel. I heard a lot of tongue speaking and wild and dancing and everything else, and praise God. But I was just sitting there with my friends, and I was just like, nah, I don't think so. And I left. I didn't sense the Spirit of God. And then I went to a liberal, another church there. It was a Presbyterian church, and I didn't hear the gospel there. I was like, nope, this is not what I'm looking for either. I knew that God was there. And then a friend of mine for work took me to this Baptist church, and I heard the Word of God preached like I never heard it before. And I thought, this is what I'm looking for. I had no idea why I was looking. It's like God finds us. Sometimes it works the other way. We look for God, but other times God looks for us. And that's what happened to me. It's either two ways with salvation. God found me, and that's how I got saved. This eunuch, he was looking for God. And I believe he had a really good heart. He really meant well. And he was searching and he was diligent looking for that. So it says here that in verse 28, going back to Acts, and he already knew in Deuteronomy with the Mosaic law, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and that was the eunuch, and he read Isaiah, the prophet. Now, I really think then when he was returning back from Jerusalem, he was stopping. And, you know, we all stop every once in a while and read God's word during the week, during the day. But I want us to turn to Isaiah chapter 56 and verses 3 through 5. Isaiah 56, 3 through 5. And it says this. It says, "Neither let the son of the stranger," that's the proselyte, "that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from this people. Neither let their eunuchs say, behold, I am a dry tree." And it has the idea of the dry tree as being a eunuch. Okay? They couldn't produce, obviously, children in intercourse. But then it was talking about here, the good news about verse 3 is the kingdom of God. God will, you know, in God's kingdom, he will accept those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, as well as we know what for the God will turn his grace to Israel at this time, to the Jews, excuse me, and we'll see that there will be salvation then, and then the kingdom comes. We'll see it doesn't matter what background, because we're all from different backgrounds. We all think differently, and we all look differently, and we see that there's salvation for all. And God is not a respecter of persons. Verse 4 says, "And thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that are that please me and take hold of the covenant," as the idea of those who have obeyed. You know as well as I do that our spirit bears witness with his spirit. We know that we are children of God. And how do we know that? Because we obey. We obey, and we by faith we believe, and we just keep pressing on. And there's a spirit, and there's a love, and there's a just something for real about our lives that draws us to God. And we see, "Even unto them will I give in my house and with my walls a place." It has the idea of my house is his temple and his walls. It's speaking of Jerusalem. "And a name better than the sons and daughters." In other words, he's going to give us new names. It won't be, you know, Bill, or it won't be Karen. It won't be, you know, whoever. But it will be different names. "And I will give them an everlasting name, and they shall not be cut off." In other words, you're not going to lose it. You got it. You know, I might lose my hair. I had my hair cut the other day, and I'm looking at myself and I'm like, my goodness, my hair is falling out. I'm getting old. You know, but you know what? We're not going to lose it. You can't lose it. Our salvation, we can't lose it. I'm very thankful for that. So we see here going back into this eunuch, he was sitting in the chariot in verse 28, and we see here that he was he's being prepared. God was preparing for him. And you know, people are in different stages to coming to know the Lord. We might give a track, like my wife and I went out Thursday night. We decided to go to the secondhand store, Vinny's or whatever it's called, the Catholic store down the road. And we thought, yeah, we're going to do some witnessing. So we started going around looking at things, and then somebody stopped and staring. They're looking at this one item. And we're like, hey, here you go. Happy New Year's. You thought you'd like to read this. Would you? And we're like, oh yeah, sure. No problem. And then, you know, you're praying at the same time. What do I need to say, Lord? What do I do? And you're praying for the Spirit of God to guide and direct. And God's saying, okay, it's time to back off, leave him alone. So now it's my turn for the drums to play with my phone. So, and we see here that, you know, so we witnessed, and when the time's right, the time is right. And then God tells us it's not right, then, you know, a few people walk by me and I was like, okay, it's not time to right. So God prepares those hearts. That's my point. God is preparing hearts for the good soil. Remember the parable of the soil? You know, that soil is the heart. And remember, Satan's always out there like with the birds, you know. He's coming in, he's picking away that seed. He wants to take away that seed. And, you know, the vines come in and they strangle the, you know, it's the word of God. They get choked. Some people get so choked with the worldly cares of this life that they forget and they don't want, you know, to look at it and say, oh, I just threw it away. I thought, oh, well, you know, we have so much of this stuff. Why do I need it anyway? I'll just throw it out, you know. But we try to make things interesting. We try to make it appealing to people. So here was the eunuch sitting in his chariot, minding his own business, and his heart was prepared. And, you know, I think the man had a teachable spirit. That's also another good point here, too. When we try to witness to people, we try to make sure they have a teachable spirit, because some people are not teachable. They think they know everything under the sun. They heard it before. And please, I'm about ready to fall asleep and fall off the chair. I've heard it before. You know, you can't tell me anything new. Those are the unteachable type, you know. So, and remember, every time we hear the word of God, we heard it before. There's always something new in it. So it says here in verse 29, we're going to look at the proper presentation. Yeah, here comes Philip, the faithful Philip, coming along here in verse 29. And it says, and then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself in the chariot. It's interesting because it was just one man. You know, I like to witness to people one-on-one. I don't like witnessing to a whole group of people unless I'm evangelizing to a whole group of people. And that's different because, you know, God works in the Spirit in different ways. But here he was one-on-one, which is probably the best. Let's just say, as I was a teacher in Europe with the English language, just like I was a teacher in a Christian day school, you know, I've learned too that the best is one-on-one, not when you have a classroom. And I was a substitute in a public school for a number of years down in Arkansas, that you have 30 kids. It's kind of hard to really have that one-on-one relationship. You know, you got all the kids want attention and you're exhausted by the end of the day dealing with kids, you know, 8 hours a day, and then with teachers and then with parents and everybody else. It's a big responsibility. But Philip went to visit this eunuch here one-on-one. And then we see here verse 30. It says, and then Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophets of Isaiah. And he says, understandest thou what thou readest? And so right away, he's letting the eunuch tell him what to do. When we witness to people, we want them to tell us. We don't want to be pumping them with information. Because after a while, just like, I can't wait till this person leaves me alone. You know, I'm here and they're trying to tell me everything that I need to know. I need to tell them what I know. Big difference. And so this man went ahead and he says, well, you know, I'm looking here at this Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. And turning there to Isaiah 55 and verses 6 and 7, it says this. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. So he knew, the eunuch knew, what God's forgiveness was all about. But he had some questions because he fully didn't understand. And sometimes there, when we are presenting the gospel, people have questions they don't understand because their heart is good. The soil's good. They want to understand. They want to grasp it. They just like one more question, one more thought, and I'm almost there. We never know. Some of us here this week may be visiting people in the hospital. Some of us may know people that are at death's door's edge. And we need to be ready for the hope that lies within us with all meekness. I mean, strength under control, and with fear. Fearing God, saying, Lord, this person could go to hell. You know, please give me the right words to speak. I'll never forget a guy who was shot in the head, a teenager in my youth ministry, that he was in our youth pack there, and he was hanging around a bunch of people in a gang. And, you know, I remember the pastor that I was a youth pastor at this time, and the pastor I was working with went to go to the hospital, and he says, you know, it was terrible looking at Eric. He had a football helmet on his head because his brains were practically blown out, but he was still conscious and he was still praying with him. And he just whispered in his ear, "Remember all those times that Pastor Allen and Pastor Bob preached to you? Remember that? Remember that?" And there was no response. And then he says the worst thing was, is he got up and he walked out and he saw, you know, a priest, and he knew of this priest that was didn't believe in the blood of Christ and all that, the same gospel. He's preaching a gospel of different kind. And he didn't believe in salvation in Christ alone. He believed in through the saints and through Mary, that person could get to heaven. And that priest came in the door after him. And he says, you know, I would never know what happened after that. But you know what? The man was faithful. He went ahead and he witnessed. And that's exactly what the disciple did, Philip. So in verse 31, it said, and he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" The eunuch said, and he desired Philip that he would come and sit down with him. He says, "Come on, I'm sitting here on the chariot. Come on, Philip, take a seat right here next to me. Here we go." Okay. So that's a good thing. People want to get close to you. They want to understand. They'll invite you. They'll want to spend time, their precious time with you, which is important. And then the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was, and of course, this is out of Isaiah 53, 7 and 8, and which he read, which is this, which he led as the sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so he opened not his mouth. And it says here, and the humiliation and his judgment was taken away. And for who shall declare this his generation, for his life taken from earth? And he sat down, and his eunuch was saying, look, and this is the way it was with the rabbinical teaching of that day, with Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. They didn't understand who were these sheep to the slaughter. Three interpretation was it Israel? Number one, was it the Messiah? Number two, which was Jesus. Or number three, was it Isaiah? People in Isaiah's time, you know? What is he talking about? And you know what Philip did? Because he was an expositor of the word. That's why we preach here expository messages, because that's how they did it back in them days, you know? And so it was Philip who sat down and says, it's the Messiah. It's the Messiah here, you know, to this man. And so it's like a light went on in his head. He was just like, oh, the light bulb in my head's getting brighter. I understand now who this is. So when we have a presentation, we know exactly what the Word of God says, because the devil comes in. He tries to sow doubt and discord. He wants people to argue, to have that pride. Remember, this eunuch had no pride. You have Christians today, people call themselves Christians, that are not saved, but some of them get arrogant. They get angry and they get offended. You know, how dare you? You know, I'm a Christian. You're trying to tell me I'm not, you know. And I'm like, no, I didn't say that you weren't. But this is what the Word of God says. Don't we agree upon this? Doesn't our spirit bear witness with one another? Oh, no. I've been a Christian for years. No. Let's talk about something else. You know, we're at a family reunion. We're doing this. We're doing that. It's happened, I'm sure, to everybody here. We're old enough for that to happen. And so, but we still love them, still pray for them. A little hurt, a little, you know, like, okay, you know, pray for them. Maybe somebody else will, you know, plant a seed. And we'll see what happens here next, is that that after he reads Isaiah, that he says here in verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, whom speaketh the prophet this, or himself, or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same time the scripture and preached to him Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ who was the sheep that went to the slaughter. He was the lamb that went to the slaughter. Right away it clicked in his mind was, oh, the Passover lamb. Oh, that's what we sacrifice. Oh, that's right. It's symbolic. And so now this Jesus, this Messiah you're talking about, has fulfilled everything. And, you know, now we enter into a new covenant. And he understood that. And he went from the Old Testament into the New Testament. He compared one half dozen to the other. And Jesus is mentioned through the Old Testament, right in through the New Testament. And so we have to be prepared if we're going to lead people to Jesus Christ. The right kind of presentation. In verse 36, we see the proper response. And I love this. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth thou hinder me to be baptized?" And then it says here, and Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." So it was by faith that this eunuch believed. You know, our church fathers, especially one of them, was Irenaeus. He said that what happened with the eunuch, that he eventually had, in history, went to be a missionary to his own people. That's why it's so important that we have missionaries reaching other people of their own group, because they can understand the culture, the way they think, what they do. And a lot of missionaries do that, start churches, and then they go on, and then new churches develop, which has happened. So in Ethiopia, you have churches today. The biggest problem there today is the Islamic regime and the horrible things that are going on right now that a lot of people don't talk about. But we need to be praying for Christians there, because they are being slaughtered. They are under persecution in Ethiopia. It's one of the 10 countries in the world that have that. So the eunuch, he stopped. He goes, "This is a public dedication." Remember, he had his entourage. He had his people with him. He was like the fiancé of the state. He was like the head of the Department of Treasury for Ethiopia at this time. And he had people with him. And people have argued and said, well, you know, whether he was with Philip by himself. No, I believe that he had an entourage of people protecting him. That's somebody of that importance with the queen? Oh, yes, I believe that. People in those days did not travel by themselves, because they were very wealthy and rich, and robbers would come and get them. So when he got baptized, my point was, is that people would see Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And remember that Philip went down with him in the water. Let's see. It says verse 38, "And so he commanded the chariot to stand still," with the proper response we see. "And they went down both into the water, and both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them." There's immersion. Somebody said, well, what happens if you're in a prison ministry, which I was in some years ago? Very simply, I went ahead, and because the warden said you cannot baptize people in water, I had to take a cup of water and pour it over his head, because either which way, the guy was going to get baptized. Baptism is symbolic. It doesn't save you. But when you're in a prison ministry, I was for a number of years, sometimes you have to improvise. You have to think outside the box. You got to work on things and come up with some creative ideas. So the warden was like, oh, yeah, pour water on his head. I don't care. The guy was in for two murders, and he got saved. Big guy, twice as big as I was. I wasn't intimidated by his size, but I was intimidated with the point was, is that he needed Jesus Christ, and I didn't want the devil to take him. But God intervened. And so God can intervene in our lives as well today with people that we love. Don't ever give up. Remember, God never gave up on us. Never give up. And so we see in verse 39, and I love this, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip." In other words, Philip went down in the water, totally immersed, came up. Philip was gone. The eunuch was there. You know, I would have to take a double take. I would have to look down in the water. Where'd you go? You know, are the clothes floating there in the water? No, he went all the way. And we see that's what happened here. Also in the Bible is Elijah. He went up in a whirlwind. And we've seen that happen with Enoch. Enoch was walked with the Lord, and he was snatched away, as the same idea, being snatched away. And of course, at the rapture, that's going to happen to us. We're going to be snatched away just like Philip was. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You know, we're going to be taken away. It can happen. I said to my wife last night before I locked everything up, I love people, but I don't trust them, especially with people breaking into things. And, you know, you love them, but you don't trust them. I locked everything up, closed the blind, and I stood there. I said, you know what? I said, you know, the Lord may come back tonight. He may come back. You know, I was thinking, am I ready? Yeah, I'm ready. And, you know, I was thinking of that today. You know, are we ready? Because it could happen. Well, what happened with Philip? Sure enough. So the eunuch saw what happened to Philip in verse 39. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. He was rejoicing. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit is, joy. Remember when we got saved? Can you remember back that far when you accepted Christ as your Savior? How excited you were. It's like you couldn't wait to go tell somebody about Christ. You're like, oh, this is wonderful. I'm different. Something's changed. I can't understand it. You know, it was no alcohol, no drugs, whatever, you know, a person did before they got saved. I don't know. You know, people have lots of pride or whatever it is. And, you know, whatever they do in life, you know, accomplish, look at all I did, you know. But it was that joy. It was, I just never forget my sister. After she got saved, she sent me a card after we went to the Billy Graham Crusade. And I'll never forget this, back in 1981. I opened up the card, and there it says, I'm saved. Thank God. Now I'm just like you, my brother. And I'm telling everybody about Jesus. I'm so excited. I'm like, wow, that's really neat. You know? And of course, so we cannot forget about, you know, people in the Bible. Remember, God spoke to Noah and he built the ark. Remember Jonah, he went to Nineveh anyway. He was obedient, even though he was being disobedient. And we see Moses was called to deliver his people. Each one of us have been called to do something here today. And then Abraham was to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. He's the father of our faith. He went out. He did what the Lord told him to do. You see the stars out there at night? See them, Abraham? You know, you'll be, your offspring will be as the stars out there. For us today, too, we're part of those stars. We have people we've led to the Lord. I'm sure each one of us has led somebody to the Lord. If not, then come on out for Thursdays and Saturdays if you want to. Hook up with Kimberly or with myself, you know. And so go out and have a good time, you know. Exercise our faith. And so it says here in verse 40, lastly, and with the proper response, but Philip was found at Azotus. In other words, Philip disappeared. The Ethiopian went back down to Ethiopia and become a missionary to his people. Philip was caught by the Spirit, taken away to this town, which was about 20 miles north of Gaza. And he ended up getting married and having four daughters. And it was, you know, he went on and preached the gospel of Christ. And his daughters shared the word of the Lord too. So the Lord says here, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And so that's where Philip ended. And so with Philip leaving Jerusalem from the time of the persecution, he went down to Samaria, and then he went further up south of Samaria, and then he went up north there to Caesarea. So, you know, God wants us to wherever he puts us today, whether it be in our cars, at home, with our loved ones this week. Let me encourage you with the new year here and all the bells and the whistles and the fireworks, whatever it is. We know deep down inside, life goes on. We continue where we left off. Nothing changes. I feel sorry for people who think a new year has come in and all of a sudden, bam, they're hit with bad news, you know, and they're thinking, oh, you know, this is horrible. But you know what? God wants us to continue to bear our crosses and walk in faith and believing that, you know, God loves us. He does, regardless. Even when we're at home with tears in our eyes and we weep for those who we love, that God still loves them too.